Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
One author wrote this, "Speech act theory makes a convincing case that our words not only convey information, they get things done. However, God's words have power infinitely beyond our own. God's words are identical with His actions. We humans say, 'Let there be light in this room,' but first we have to make sure the room has been properly wired. Then we have to walk across the room and flick a switch or go to the cabinet and grab some matches so we can light a candle. Our words need deeds to back them up and can fail to achieve their purposes. God's words, however, cannot fail their purposes because for God, speaking and acting are the same things. Thus, when God said, 'Let there be light,' there was light. There is no question about whether God's words will be fulfilled. They have to be. They are tied to God's very nature of faithfulness and truth. When God speaks, His words must be, and they will be, carried out to the letter. In the next few episodes, we're going to be looking at the question of what happened to Israel. This question is tied to God's faithfulness to His word. God promised the nation Israel many things in His word, many things that have not yet been fulfilled. So the question is, will they be fulfilled? And the answer is absolutely yes, to the letter. Everything that God promised Israel in His word will take place exactly as He has said. It must be, because God is faithful to His word. One of the major issues theologians have wrestled with for generations is the question of where and how the nation of Israel fit into God's plans for the present and the future. Understanding this is important because it shapes our belief about Israel's past promises, the nature of the church today, and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in the future. When we rightly divide the word of truth, however, between God's earthly program with Israel and His heavenly program with the body of Christ, we can explain what happened to Israel, and we can clearly understand both God's present plan and His future plans for that people. Galatians 6:15-16 reads, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." To answer the question, what happened to Israel, we need to first explain what didn't happen to Israel. Because it is often taught that the church replaced Israel in God's dealings with mankind. Galatians 6:16 is used as the basis for this position and the claim that the body of Christ is the Israel of God. The church replacing Israel is sometimes called replacement theology. Replacement theology means that the church has now and for all time replaced national Israel as God's people and His plans and purposes. It holds that God is never going to have anything to do with Israel again, and that the church has taken the place of Israel. This theology teaches that God has forever set Israel aside in unbelief and transferred all the promises He made to her to the church. For centuries, theologians have been teaching this doctrine, and it's still taught. To support this view, the many promises, the covenants, the blessings, and even curses for Israel are spiritualized and spiritually applied to the church of this age to fit this doctrine. Adherence to replacement theology deny the literal fulfillment of prophecy and the covenants made to the nation of Israel. Bible prophecy made about Israel is spiritualized or taken in a non-literal way to make Scripture fit this doctrine. In other words, replacement theology rejects the teaching that God will one day regather and reestablish national Israel in the Promised Land as His chosen people, with Israel's Messiah reigning over all the earth as king. The prophecies regarding the blessings of regathered Israel in the Promised Land are spiritualized into the church's blessings. And the church then becomes spiritual Israel, or the new Israel. The literal earthly thousand-year kingdom promised to Israel becomes a spiritual kingdom being carried out in the church today along with its promises. And the Promised Land then becomes heaven. This system of theology is born out of five things. First, rejecting dispensational theology. Second, failing to recognize the message of grace committed to Paul. Third, desiring to claim all of God's promises. Fourth, seeing the lack of fulfillment of prophecy today, knowing that there is still much prophecy to be fulfilled. And fifth, seeing Israel's current condition. These are all reasons, either partially, respectively, or collectively, that has given birth to this theology. This system of interpretation of God's Word, however, creates some serious problems. And first, it allows for claiming that the clear words of Scripture do not actually mean what they say. Instead of taking Scripture at face value and being able to just read it and understand it literally for what it says and believe it, this system of interpretation leaves us at the mercy of spiritualizing theologians to tell us what the Bible means. And there's a danger in that, because then they and their denominations become the authority rather than the Word of God. But God has given us His Word in written form that each of us might read it, understand it, believe it, proclaim it, and live our lives by it. God says what He means, and He means what He says. And we should read it and interpret it accordingly. The second severe problem this theology raises is that it calls God's faithfulness into question. And it's been said, if the obvious natural meaning of the Old Testament promises is not to be depended on, how can we depend upon any promise of God? God has promised that He will never forsake Israel or His promises to her. Jeremiah 31:35-37 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord." If God would abandon Israel and go back on His word to her, how could we have any assurance of our salvation? It would make us wonder, might God abandon us sometime in the future as well? If God permanently forsook Israel, then rightly so, we could never fully trust any of the promises He has made to the church in the letters of Paul. But the Lord has given His word that as long as the sun and the moon and the stars appear in the sky, we can know without a doubt that he has not permanently cast Israel aside. And that truth can and should bring comfort to the heart of the believer today. Because as we see that sun each day, and we see the moon and the stars each night, we can know and trust that God is faithful. He is faithful to his word. He is faithful to all his promises to Israel. He is faithful to all his promises to us, the body of Christ. God is the God of truth. His word is truth. He's spoken in his word. He's spoken very clearly. He is faithful to what he has said. And God will bring to pass and fulfill every single promise he has made to the nation of Israel regarding her eternal hope on this earth. And God will bring to pass and fulfill every single promise he has made to us, the body of Christ, regarding our eternal hope in the heavenlies. It's been said that when we look back at the faithfulness of God, we praise him. When we look forward to God's faithfulness, we trust him. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "For all the promises of God in him," or Christ, "are yea," or yes, "and in him, amen." As believers in Christ, we have much to be thankful for, much to look forward to by faith, because we know God is faithful and true to his word. We know that everything will come to pass just as God has said and revealed in his word. And those who have placed their faith in Christ as their personal Savior have the sure hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
The Confession of Sins is a 36-page booklet written by Pastor Ken Lawson. Is 1 John 1:9 a part of God's will for the present dispensation of grace? This booklet is a re-examination of 1 John 1:9, providing a proper view of it, both within its dispensational context in the New Testament and also within the context of the epistle of 1 John itself. To order your copy, contact the Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
So what does the Israel of God refer to in Galatians 6:16? In the book of Galatians, Paul dealt with the issue of circumcision. A group of people called Judaizers had come among the Galatian believers and taught them that they needed to be circumcised to be accepted by God. They imposed circumcision and the law on the Galatians in addition to Paul's gospel of grace. And the Galatians allowed themselves to be influenced to mix law and grace, both doctrinally and practically, and they put themselves under law. But to Paul, what they were being taught was that Christ was not enough, and that they must have a physical right, works, and deeds of the law, in addition to Christ and his grace. So as Paul concludes the letter, he sums up by saying that whether one is circumcised or not circumcised, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not one belongs to the new creature or the new creation that God has formed. The new creation that God has formed is the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:15 to 16 says this about the new creation: having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The new creation that Paul's talking about here is the new man. And the new man is the one body, the body of Christ, made up of believing Jews and Gentiles reconciled to God by the cross of Christ. With the temporary setting aside of Israel, with the raising up of Paul, with the beginning of the church, the body of Christ, God did not take Israel's promises and blessings and transfer them to the church so that the church is now spiritual Israel. Instead, we learn through Paul, the body of Christ is a new creation, a new man. And we have our own unique promises and blessings. The church, the body of Christ, did not exist in the times of the Old Testament or the Gospels. It was hid in the mind of God. Not until the Apostle Paul did Christ reveal the mystery, the body of truth for this age, which revealed the new creation, a church that is completely separate from Israel. Paul wrote that the mystery of Christ, that is the message of grace for this dispensation, was in other ages not made known unto the sons of men. Since what was revealed to Paul was not made known unto the sons of men in the past before him, then no prophecy and no promise given to Israel in the past before Paul, whether it's spiritualized or not, would or could refer to the church today. Paul announced something that had been kept secret since the world began, which was distinct and separate from Israel and separate from God's purpose for the earth and prophecy. He made known the truth of the new church, the body of Christ. Instead of becoming spiritual Israel, Paul announced a whole new creation, the body of Christ, that is separate from Israel and separate from God's promises to her. In that church, Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:6 that in the new man, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This new creation is made up of all who believe the gospel of grace, whether Jew or Gentile. And whoever believes is all one in him, and we are fellow heirs in Christ. The church is not defined as Israel's replacement. Rather, it comprises of all those who have placed their faith in the finished work of Christ, and that the church under grace is a brand new thing, a new creation. In God's dealings, Israel was set aside temporarily because of her unbelief. And God created a new entity called the body of Christ and revealed that church to Paul. Israel and the body are two separate entities with their own distinctive identities in Scripture. The spiritual Israel concept has been created from a failure to understand the dispensational shift of God, from God's dealings with Israel to the new creation, the body of Christ. As we recognize the mystery, the message of grace committed to Paul, there is no reason to alter prophecy or spiritualize the promises made specifically to God's people Israel. We can just let them stand. Let them mean what they say. And know by faith that they will be fulfilled exactly as God has said in his perfect time. And Paul wrote in verse 16, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy." What rule is Paul talking about? And it's the rule from the previous verse that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but that the new creation is what truly avails and means everything. Paul bestows peace and mercy on them, that is, on those who are a part of the new creation, the body of Christ. But there is a dividing line drawn here between as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and upon the Israel of God. In other words, between Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ and the Israel of God. But if God began a new entity known as the body of Christ, then what happened to Israel? Is Israel forever out of the picture? Is God finished with Israel? And the answer is no way. Absolutely not. The Israel of God is not talking about the body of Christ, because in the body of Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, according to Galatians 3:28. Thus, we know Paul is talking about a different group of believers. Paul wrote Galatians during the Acts period. During that time, there was another group of saints that still existed. There were still believing Israelites who had been saved under the ministry of John the Baptist, under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the ministry of his 12 apostles, who were a part of the kingdom church, who had an earthly hope according to prophecy. Remnants of these believing Israelites, the true Israel of faith, were still around. And just so the Galatians, and we to this day, understand that God did not forsake those saints, Paul pronounced a double blessing here as he closes the Galatian epistle. Peace and mercy on the new creation. Peace and mercy on the Israel of God. Rather than this passage teaching that the body of Christ is the Israel of God, it instead shows that they are two separate entities. The church, the body of Christ, is the as many as walk according to this rule. The Israel of God are believing Israelites of God's earthly program who trusted in Jesus as their Messiah and the Son of God. Psalm 36, verse 5 reads, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." So what difference does all this make it to our lives? How can we be transformed by grace knowing what happened to Israel and God's plan for Israel? Life is all about change, and we live in a world of constant change and chaos. But God's great faithfulness, which reacheth unto the clouds, brings stability to our lives. We gain spiritual strength by resting in the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is foundational to our faith. If God is not faithful to His word and to His promises, then we have no security, no assurance, and our hope is empty. But because God is faithful and fulfills all His promises, both to Israel and to us, the body of Christ, we know our faith is real, our hope and eternal destiny is sure and secure. God is faithful to Israel, and He is faithful to the church and to the promises He has made to each one as a whole. And God is faithful to each one of us individually. He is faithful to be with us always, to never leave us. He comforts, He guides, and He strengthens us in the journey of life. And He is faithful to work in our lives to conform us into the image of His Son. Because of His faithfulness, we are confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is faithful to us, and He is faithful to His word. When we allow God's faithfulness to reassure and uplift our hearts and minds, our faith in Him grows and increases. And grace and faith work together. As we grow deeper in our faith, and we live for the Lord by faith, God, by His grace, will transform our lives.
Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? You can know for sure, and the Bible tells us how. When it comes to heaven, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
We are all sinners, and we cannot bring sinfulness into God's presence. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, and that evil may not dwell with God. You might ask yourself, don't the good things I've done make up for the bad things? Not in the eyes of God. The Bible says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. The Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin results in death and ultimately leads to the second death, which is eternal separation from God in the torments of hell. So, if God can't tolerate sin, and we've all sinned and are hell-bound, is there any hope? Thankfully, yes. God made a provision to save us, and it's a free gift with no strings attached. The Bible says Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Everyone who believes that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead have all their sins, past, present, and future, paid for and put away. They will have eternal life with God in heaven. Why would God do this for us? The Bible says, because of his great love with which he loved us, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace have you been saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in God's free gift of salvation to you. For nearly 80 years, the Berean Bible Society has endeavored to encourage believers everywhere to study God's Word. With this foundation, the believer is equipped to grow spiritually and energized to effectively share the gospel. Through the tools of both traditional and electronic media, we are positioned to reach our world well into the coming generations. Streaming lessons, printed materials, audio teachings, and daily devotionals are all available at thebereanbiblesociety.org.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org. Or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.